Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And we've had enough news for the past week to fill up a 12-hour show, much less the little dinky less than half hour that we're getting here. But I'll tell you what, guys, we won. No matter what anybody says, we got it. We had it. The states had seen the evidence, and they knew that there was fraud in the election, and they wanted to recertify their votes. All that had to happen was for Mike Pence to send it back, and he didn't do it. He betrayed the president. What a dark day. I told you guys not to trust these neocons, but you didn't believe me, did you? Surely you thought the vice president, Mike Pence, could be trusted. No. You see, Mike Pence was chosen a long time ago as a capitulation to the establishment. They figured that with Mike Pence in there, maybe the establishment would leave them alone and let them win. And it worked. I think that if Trump had chosen someone besides Mike Pence, that there's a strong possibility that he would not have become president. But little did we know that COVID would happen and it would be used as a cover to commit this sham of an election. We didn't realize back then that it would come down one day to the absurd scenario of Mike Pence effectively getting to choose who would be president of the United States. But that is exactly what happened. And Mike Pence had no choice but to show his true colors. He couldn't hide anymore. Remember, guys, it's all really comes down to who's anti-war and who's pro-war and who wants to get power. And, you know, there's a little blurring of the line. So, like, for instance, maybe you have somebody who's anti-war, but they want to become president of the United States really badly. So they're going to make some capitulations so that they don't get too much pushback. And you can have people who are making money off of war, but they still believe in some conservative principles. I mean, look at Lindsey Graham. I hate Lindsey Graham. He's never seen a country he didn't want to bomb the dust off of. But he will still sometimes do the right thing because he understands the correctness of conservative principles, even if he does care more about money than human life. What do you call a person that only cares about themselves and doesn't value, you know, life or have a sense of right or wrong or whatever? Sociopath or psychopath or whatever. But whatever that's called, you know, even a person like that, they're still probably going to do a lot of normal things correctly in the eyes of society. And I don't know, maybe sometimes these guys justify it. I mean, remember that time that George H.W. Bush, like, went up on the microphone and he was talking about... he was like crying and stuff like that. I mean, maybe some of these guys are like, well, I'm doing this for my kids so they can have a good life or something. And, you know, I don't care about, you know, people in a country half a world away. But whatever the reasons are, you can see the line that is drawn. So you have people and they want war. They somehow, you know, are making, this is my theory. They're somehow making, but you know, when you have a theory and enough things keep coming true over and over again, you know, I'm going to stick with the theory, right? You know, they ought to take a picture of some, you know, Julius Caesar picture of Brutus, like, you know, stabbing Julius Caesar, and, like, paste Mike Pence's head on it. I'm sure that's been done already. But it was there. You know, we had it. Everybody did as much as they could do, and it came down to the decision that the Democrats feared most, the run-of-the-mill Democrats feared, that Mike Pence was going to be able to make the decision. And it got all the way to there. So for the people who are saying that, you know, we had no chance, there was no way, hey, man, they got it all the way to the one-yard line, only to have the quarterback throw the ball away. And, you know, this is why people are so angry. And I don't even know how much of that scenario you are aware of. If you're listening to the show and you watch your standard news, I don't even know how much of that is filtered out to the mainstream. Because all I've heard for the last couple of months is that the election is over, Trump has no chance. Every single time that a tweet comes out, they say, you know, that, well, this is disputed, no fraud has been proven, Joe Biden is the president-elect. Even before he was certified as president-elect, they kept saying that he's the president-elect and, you know, that there was basically no chance. When all that needed to happen was for Mike Pence to do the right thing, and he didn't. And then Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. You know, they're saying that Antifa stormed the Capitol. And I saw, like, you know, this one Antifa person was bragging that they infiltrated the Trump people. And I saw another Trump supporter say that you had these guys and they were dressed like Antifa and they stormed past them. And, you know, I saw other videos of, like, policemen opening up the door for Trump supporters and, you know, and opening up gates and letting people in and letting them effectively storm the Capitol. And, you know, when the Capitol was being stormed, they're walking between a comedian pointed this out. Oh, Norm MacDonald, he pointed this out too. But I absolutely noticed it. They're walking between the velvet ropes like, you know, like they're on a tour or something like that. And I'm like, that is amazing that these people are supposed to be so mad that they're storming the Capitol, but they're like being well behaved, going between these velvet ropes and not messing anything up. And there was a reporter, I was listening to PBS NewsHour or something like that, and a reporter was screaming and saying, oh, I'm fearing for my life. These people are breaking in, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't think she said the words feared for my life, but, you know, she's acting like, oh, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And the other person is like, oh, stay safe. And then some Trump reporters came into the room where she was at, and they had a nice little chat. They had a little interview. And they said, oh, they were looking for the bathroom. They weren't even looking to wreck or destroy anything. They were just looking for the bathroom. Now, there was destruction. There were windows that were broken in, and there was a lady shot. Oh, that was a terrible video. So some Trump supporters were trying to get into what, the Senate chamber? No, some chamber. And there it was barricaded, and you had, they said that it was police, but they were dressed in like suits. They looked like Secret Service agents to me, but I mean, I don't know the difference between these people. And they shot this lady. It looks like she was shot in the neck and she died. That person was a 14-year veteran shot. And they're saying that five people ended up dead. They said that one Capitol police officer was killed when he was hit upside the head with a fire extinguisher and then later succumbed to his wounds. You had Chris, not Matthews, but some other person trying to convince everybody that the Capitol building being stormed was much worse than we thought that it was and that five people died. And he said that's one more than died in Benghazi. So he's basically saying, you know, if you were outraged about Benghazi, you should be even more outraged about this. And they're trying to blame Trump for all this. Riddle me this, Batman. Riddle me this. Who is responsible for the criminal being in jail? The criminal himself or the people who pointed out his crimes? I mean, in movies, the criminal who commits a crime and then gets mad at the people who caught him and goes after them for revenge, he's the bad guy. How the hell are you going to get mad at Donald Trump for being the victim of a stolen election? And people are getting up on their high horse pretending that he's responsible for the storming of the Capitol and for the deaths that happened there? Let me ask you a question. If this election was on the up and up, do you think that would have happened? It's hard to get the conservative populace to break the laws of the place that they live in. Conservatives believe incorrectly, in my opinion, that morality is basically black and white, that there's no, that there's no give. And if there's a law, then that law should be followed. But, you know, the Democrats always overdo it. They always go a little bit too far. And they went so far and they've become so blatant with this election fraud that even the right is going, you know, we need to do something about this. This is getting a little bit crazy. Look at Georgia. You know, when they stole the presidential election at least they had the excuse for, you know, extending the count. They're like, well, a water main pipe burst. You know, that was proven to be false. It was like a faulty toilet or something. And they sent everybody home and kept on counting votes. Well, in Georgia, it happened again, right? They go, well, you know, we're going to be late here counting votes. All the other precincts are done with their vote counting. But the precinct here in Fulton County, we have to stay open and we have to keep counting the votes here. And what happened? The same damn thing. Vote dump in the middle of the night. You have that spike that goes up, and then you have the Democrats win. So now the Democrats have the Senate, they've got the House, they've got the presidency. And the play-by-the-rule conservatives have bupkis. They've got ashes in their mouth. They've got bile, and they've got anger, and that's all they've got. But take heart, guys. At least now we get to watch the leftists tear each other apart as they vie for power. You know, at least conservatives have some semblance of moral principle to hold them together. You're going to have these leftists destroy each other. You think they're going to be able to get together? No. And let me make a difference between the constituency and the politicians, please, because, you know, I think that the average person who's on the left, that's a human being, you know, that's not a politician. I shouldn't say things like that. Politicians are humans too, but barely, right? But no, I think that the average person is just like, I think all of us are the same, right? I think all people are very much alike. I mean, in some ways, the personalities are different, but, you know, we all want somebody that cares about us. We all want, you know, nice things to own. We all want a nice place to live. We want to be safe. We want our families taken care of. You know, most people all want the same thing. And it's hard for me to get angry at the average leftist and the average progressive, because their world is being filtered through the media. And that really is, you know, who I blame for this. You know, you get garbage in, garbage out is what they say. And if you have bad information, I mean, like, for instance, the hearings on election fraud, when I watch these committees, I'm seeing the evidence, right? And they're long, right? These things are hours long and they're kind of boring. But when you're watching the amount of fraud that's happening, you're going, wow, this is really amazing. I did not think that could happen in this country. But, you know, really, it does. It does happen. Now, what does the media do? They'll take clips of people at the worst, you know, moment, saying the thing that... So, for instance, there's a lady that goes up there and she's saying things that happen factually. And then she went into conjecture of why she thinks it's happening. Well, the media plays a conjecture, which to the average person is just wild and way out there. And then the commentators come on and say how ridiculous she is. Well, when people see that and they didn't watch the entire hearing, they think, oh, okay, well, the people up there are crazy and they're liars, right? Because that's what the media is telling them. And you look at Saturday Night Live and they're making people who are against the hearings happening, against the word getting out and turning them into heroes and making them look good. And, you know, I remember when Ross Perot was running and I was a dummy, right? And they're saying Ross Perot is crazy. He's nuts. And I'm like, yeah, he's crazy. Why is he running? Why is he saying these things? He's bananas. And then he said that the reason he dropped out, if I recall, was that there was, I believe he said, a right-wing conspiracy to kidnap his daughter or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's bizarre. That's nuts. He's bananas. Find out later, years later, of course, Ross Perot was a great man. He fought to rescue POWs that the United States was pretending didn't exist. He was fighting to rescue them. Working with families, using his billions of dollars for good. Look at when Ron Paul ran, another great man, and the way they ignored and maligned him and made fun of him and pretended that he was crazy and pretended that he was racist. These bastards have no morals at all to say things about men who are far greater than they will ever be. And that's probably part of it. You know, these rats, right? They they realize that they're sellouts. They know that they're doing this for the dollar. And when they see these people that are much more morally strong than they are, part of them have got to feel so ashamed that they'll do anything. They'll say any smear to try to diminish the greatness of these people who put much more on the line than some self-aggrandizing reporter who nowadays is functionally basically useless. As long as we've got a camera on there, you know, that's about all we need. I don't need to have a reporter come on and tell me what I just saw. Just let me see it and get out of the way. As far as I'm concerned, that election fraud was proven. I don't need a court to come out and tell me if it was proven or not. I'm watching it. I'm watching the people come up and give the same information that they would give to a judge. And then people who haven't even watched the damn hearings are telling me, well, it never went to a court. A court threw it out. They said that it wasn't true. Remember when they kept playing that little segment of them saying, well, were the electors in the room? Yes. Then I don't know why we're here. Like some judge, some smart ass judge is like, well, electors are in the room and the law says you can be in the room. And guys, that's a literal argument. That was the actual argument. So apparently the law says that electors have to be in the same room as the people who are counting the votes. But it doesn't specify, I guess, how many feet away they have to be or anything like that. So because they were in the same room, which was what, the size of an airport? It counts. So even though they're 25, 30, 100 feet away, it still counts as them being in the room. And so that counts as them watching the votes being counted. When everybody, the dumbest person that you can find is going to know that the reason that law is there is so that they can see, they can check and make sure that the votes that are being counted for the correct person. Everybody knows that. And everybody, even the dumbest individual, realizes that you can't do that if you can't see it. So it doesn't matter if the law says that they're supposed to be in the same room. Everybody knows that the reason the law is written is so that they can verify that vote. And when you don't let them verify that vote, sorry, buddy, that stinks. Something is wrong. And you know what? Everybody knows it. Everyone knows it. But it's hard to fight the narrative, you know, especially when it's for the person that you want to win. Realize these people, the average person has been fed a diet of hate Trump for years on end. And now they have a chance to get rid of Trump. But we have a problem here. Apparently, the election is fraudulent. Apparently, not as many people hate Trump as they thought. What happened to the landslide, right? It's not a landslide. So now you are in danger of your candidate losing. Of course, you're going to do mental backflips so that you win. But like I said, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you can watch these committees on election fraud, going through the people who were there on the ground, who were there in the situation, people who are on the ground, people who have done these elections for years and know what a fair election is supposed to look like and know that this isn't it. Can't watch it and come away unaffected because it's real, because that's the truth, because you're seeing people who have signed sworn affidavits under threat of going to jail, of losing their freedom, who are coming out and telling what actually happened, and they get swept under the rug. The news won't display it. They pretend like it didn't happen. They reinterpret it, pretending that something else actually occurred. And this is a problem. This is why we can't get any information. And now you've got Twitter and Facebook and many others that are escaping me right now. But all of these platforms now, these social media platforms, have kicked the president of the United States off of the platform or suspended it indefinitely until after the election when he's not the president anymore. So they have kicked the president of the United States off their platforms. They have taken away the ability for the president to communicate with his constituents. Oh, and before some fake fact check comes out and goes, well, he wasn't really kicked off. The official account of the POTUS, the President of the United States, is still active on Twitter. But Donald J. Trump's account, the one that he used to tweet out, is off. It says account suspended. And it's not just him. It's all of the, it's so many right-wing accounts are gone. So I think it's fair to say that Twitter is a left-wing platform. You know, why do liberals get to, you know, take a platform like Parler and call it a right-wing platform? So people that want free speech and can't speak openly on Facebook and on Twitter, they go to Parler and then they get called right-wing when they're not even necessarily right-wing. I mean, isn't it funny? And all of these Democrats who like to have actual normal discourse with their fellow human beings have found that being censored is no fun. You know, they were on board when Alex Jones was censored, but now that they're getting censored, they don't like it. Unless you're going with the establishment narrative, you're in trouble. Even if you're a progressive, you can be in a lot of trouble. So they're trying to go to other platforms and they're getting called right wing for doing it, even if they're the farthest thing from a right winger. The Parler app went to number one, and guess what? Apple wants to ban it. So, you know, it's not enough to want your own platform. Now, even that platform, they're going to get rid of. And so what do you think is going to happen in these social media companies when you're kicking so much of the population off your platform and stifling their free speech? Well, your stock is going to go down. So, you know, at this rate, by this time next year, Twitter is going to be, you know, maybe a circle of people with funny hair talking about their favorite almond milk. There's not going to be any actual rational discourse anymore. It's going to be people just getting together and saying, oh, isn't this person who the establishment wants us to hate so bad? It is to laugh. And now they're trying to put a federal ban to stop Trump from running again. You know, these people, they do not care about fairness and honesty. They care about power. And by doing this, they're trying to make an example out of Trump. Look how the media has maligned him. So he comes out with a video and he says, guys, go home, stand down. I don't condone violence. Joe Biden came out and said Antifa was an idea. Whereas Donald Trump has come out and said to people that you've got to support the Capitol Police. You don't want to hurt anybody. Go home. And they keep pretending that he's inciting violence. They want to make an example of him, and they want to say, if somebody comes here and they try to run for office and they're not someone that we approve of, we're going to do this to you. They want to make you too scared to resist. It's like, you know, when somebody like steals music, right? They download music and then they get fined hundreds of thousands of dollars and they get, you know, put in jail, right, for like 5 years or whatever. And, you know, they make an example of somebody so that nobody else does it. That's what they're trying to do with Donald Trump. And they're trying to make it where you're demoralized and where you're too scared to fight. They want to impeach Trump again with what? Just like less than 2 weeks left in office. They want to impeach him and they want him to resign. And people are shutting down discourse. They're saying things like, yeah, I got rid of all my Trump-supporting friends and my family members, too, that support Trump. And Trump's the divider. And it's hard to blame regular people because, you know, they're getting bad information and these social media companies aren't helping. And you know what the payoff is going to be for these social media companies? They're going to go broke because of what they're doing. And how are they going to get rescued? A bailout. You watch, guys. You mark. I can see the future. I can see the future. They're kicking people off their platform. The whole idea of their platform is so that people can communicate with one another. And they're kicking people off the platform. What do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to lose money, and they're going to get their payoff. You know, they're going to get the one hand washes the other.